Warning: The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Executives at insurance giant AIG apparently haven't felt the pain. They took a week-long retreat at the St. Regis Resort in California after taxpayers spent $85 billion bailing out the company. The cost? $440,000, including $23,000 for spa treatments.
They were getting their manicures, their facials, their pedicures, and their massages while American people were footing the bill.
Well, I have more bad news for you, ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation. It got worse. It got worse 1 hour ago at the end of the business day in New York City. The corrupt officials at the so-called Fed have said that AIG has used up all of the $85 billion loan, and they've just given them another $37.8 billion to AIG. Fed said an hour ago that an $85 billion loan made available to the corrupt bums at AIG has been gobbled up, and that there's a new cash fusion being transferred from the New York Fed, which would take securities from AIG and inject cash in return. In other words, they're buying up more garbage from the gangsters. The so-called Fed said that an $85 billion loan made available had been used up, and the new money, the New York Fed will borrow up to $37.8 billion in investment-grade fixed income securities from AIG in return for cash collateral, a statement from the Federal Reserve of Gangsters said. So there it is, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Paulson of Goldman Sachs has hired someone from Goldman Sachs to bail out Goldman Sachs. At the same time, the man who needs a shave, Ben Bernanke, has just authorized another $37.8 billion of your money to the gangsters at AIG who busted the company out. That's after running a $440,000 retreat after the bailout. Does it end? I haven't any idea. I think we have no government. Personally, I think we have government anarchy. That's if we have a government at all. I'm not so sure we even have a government. Now, let's also talk about the so-called town hall meeting last night where guns were not mentioned, immigration was not mentioned, abortion was not mentioned, prayer or the Bible was not mentioned, the Ten Commandments were not mentioned. In other words, nothing was mentioned except that the creature from the Paleozoic wanted asked. The Paleozoic moderator, Tom Brokaw, was disinterred from the Paleozoic. A new coating of makeup was put on him. He isn't even from the Cenozoic. He's from the Paleozoic, as far as I'm concerned. He's from the Media Paleozoic. He is on the order of the Hadrosaurus, the first known duck-billed dinosaur, which lived and traveled in herds but was not particularly ferocious despite its huge size. Yeah, and guys like Brokaw, who are so in love with their own voice, do they get mad at the guys who are debating the people who would be president? What's terrible is the guy who used to be from Arizona, who was going to be going to Mongolia for a Kia car. McCain. McCain is washed up. He's finished. The man mumbled around, walked on the stage, took notes. He got out of the platform and took a note right away. I don't understand this. Last week, remember he appeared before Republican women and they screamed at him? They screamed at him, when are you going to get angry? Well, how about next Tuesday? And Obama, cool as a cucumber. Not even an American citizen running for the presidency. Oh, yeah, big story. Now, who is alleging that Obama's not a citizen? Is it Michael Savage? No. I'm only reporting what a top Democrat, a major league Democrat donor, is saying, and he's suing for Obama's birth certificate. because nobody can find it in Hawaii. And the Democrats are hiding the fact that he may not be an American citizen. There are allegations afloat coming from the Democrats themselves that are saying that Obama may not be an American citizen. So we have the tortoise and the foreign hare. That's what we have running for the presidency. We have an outright socialist and a crypto-socialist running for the presidency. The outright socialist is Obama, and the crypto-socialist is McCain, but he doesn't even know it. McCain has no idea that he is actually more of a socialist than Obama in certain issues. He said he would buy up all the bad mortgages so people could keep their houses. That's socialism, John. That's not fiscal conservatism. Check your cue cards. Even Obama said that would be too expensive, that they couldn't afford it. I mean, at least he knows the difference between what socialists can afford and what they can't afford. So, ladies and gentlemen, the only hope here is God. God sees the truth but waits. I don't think God's going to come down from heaven between now and November 4th. I think we're stuck with the creature from the Paleozoic as the moderator and the extinction of the American dream for all of us. I want to tell you what the fears are of white people that I know. Shall I level with you? Because I'm going to level with you. I'm going to let it out nakedly. Here's what Savage says. I know some fairly intelligent white people who have earned every dime that they have. They've never cheated anybody. They've worked hard and they earned it their own way. Paid all their taxes. They fear that if Obama wins, which is highly likely because of McCain's throwing the election, which is a secondary story, which I'll get into in a minute. The Republicans don't want to win. I told you he was a fall guy. And maybe I'll stay on this one. Well, anyway, I'll start with. So the white people that I know, the white males I know, fear that when Obama wins, there will be riots, race riots in America, that blacks will riot. They will not feel that they finally have somebody who has become president. The logical nudity is, there it is. I'm not going to mince words. I'm not Tom Brokaw. I'm not in love with my own voice. I don't use man tan. And then I'm going to talk about the tortoise and the hare. Incidentally, I have very good news for myself. The first copies of my book, Psychological Nudity, My Baby, have arrived from the printer. I don't actually have one. It's unfortunate, but they were shipped to my fulfillment house in Florida. And the printer didn't think of sending me one by overnight mail, so I haven't even seen it. But I'm so thrilled, because if they got them down there, that means all of you who ordered, the thousands of you, and I'm not kidding you, I've sold a lot of books. The thousands of you who've ordered them, they're going to be shipping tomorrow. You can have them by next week, and we're going to have a read-in on the Savage Nation next week. We're going to have a read-in. We're going to read stories together. That's all, because I'm going to tell you what's coming in this country. A lot of things that you don't believe are coming. In fact, on my website, there is an article. I actually broke the story last week from an email, and no one heard me. And now the left wing is spreading it around like a virus. And they're actually fearing that Bush, who, by the way, has abandoned Posse Comitatus, which prohibited the placement of American troops, U.S. troops, on domestic soil ever since the Civil War. Bush actually got rid of the Posse Comitatus Act. And they feel that Bush is a dictator. And now they're spreading the word that the U.S. troops will be deployed because they know people in the National Guard are being trained for deployment on U.S. streets. Here it is on right side of MichaelSavage.com. Far left says Bush ready to put troops on U.S. streets. I actually released the story first. I had gotten an email from somebody whose husband's in that National Guard unit. Now it was picked up by a far left wacko who needs Nair. I don't recognize her, but I know that she's the type who needs Nair. She's the type of girl I never would have dated. She became a left wing communist and left men long time ago because she never could get a date. So she became an anarchist, a communist, a lesbian, in order to get even with the fact that she was born with a mustache. So we'll talk about that. But, you know, tonight, there's other things on my mind as well. There's the less secular, and there is the more spiritual. And that is because at sundown tonight, for the few million people left on the planet who were not annihilated in the Holocaust. Tonight is the beginning of the holiest night of the year. Now, many of you are Christians, and you respect Judaism because you are, and you want to know a little bit more about what these holidays mean. I know you do, because you believe that Israel is God's will and all of that. You're the best friends Israel ever had. The communist left hates you for supporting Israel. The Jewish communists and the Jewish left, the Jewish Democrats, hate you for supporting Israel. They mock you. They mock you. They make fun of you. It's a shocking shame to me how this goes on in this country. But listen, I know the underbelly of the country better than anybody in the media, and I'm willing to express it. So tonight is the beginning of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, where the Jews go into a fast, and they're afraid that they're not going to be written into the Book of Life. And what it is, the service tonight at sundown is called Kol Nidre. What that means is a shedding of the vows. In other words, any promise you made this year can be disavowed tonight. In other words, it's a confession. So what the Catholics do every Sunday, the Jews do once a year. Now, the reason Catholicism is such a wonderfully successful religion is that if the Jews could do this every day, three times a day, I think the religion would have grown a long time ago. Man is by nature so evil and so guilty. Who could wait a whole year to confess that you lied and you cheated and you stole all year? You need to do it three times a day. I'm actually suggesting Jews put the confessional back into the service. But I don't think I'll be heard any more than I'll be heard by the Republican Party. Something tells me I won't be heard by anybody but my loyal, wonderful millions of listeners on the Savage Nation. Question to you. What do you like about your religion? Now, this is open to anybody of any religion. Guess why am I asking what do you like about your religion? I am predicting that as the gangsters in government and the gangsters on Wall Street continue to bust out America, and it doesn't matter what side of the aisle they're on, they have never been more naked in their brazen thievery as they are today. Never in American history has it been this brazen. As the gangsters continue to squeeze every cent out of your life, taking it for their fat pig selves, people are going to turn back to what they were when this was a better country. You'll have one car in your family instead of seven. You'll have one house instead of three and a vacation house. You'll eat out in a restaurant once a week instead of seven times a week. And you will start attending services again, whether you're a Christian or a Jew. You're going to find that God is going to be the only comfort for you in these times. And I don't mean tomorrow. Oh, no. No, I'm not slightly ahead of my time. I'm way ahead of my time. My prediction is over the next 3 to 4 years, there will be such turmoil in this country that people are going to turn inward again. They're going to become more religious than they ever have been. When they may have been at a time in their life, maybe like the way your parents were. Let's put it to you that way if you're younger. You will come back to your senses. You'll start living for pointy shoes and orgasms. The girls will actually look for a husband instead of for a pleasure toy. And the men will start to look for a wife in order to have the satisfaction and joy of a family instead of another quick sneeze in the night. This is the Savage Nation. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. My website is michaelsavage.com, and I am not from the Mesozoic. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So the debate was run by the creature from the Mesozoic, Tom Brokaw, who was an embarrassment. And he's the reason most Americans despise and hate the midstream media. The man was a bore. He stuck himself in between the candidates. The topics we were all interested in hearing something about were not raised. Immigration, not one word. Abortion, not one word. Prayer, not one word. The Ten Commandments, not one word. Guns, not one word. It was a stooge, a fake debate. It's called a show trial, you know, like a show trial, show debate, fake debate. Government Media Complex, Michael Savage, 1997, the Commonwealth Club, the most important speech given in the Commonwealth Club in about 40 years. 40 years has been expunged from their records. Again, I am the man who does not exist. But I want to make a point to you. During the Soviet era in Russia, there was an underground of people who knew what was going on. They created newspapers. The underground in the Soviet Union was known as the Samizdat. And they communicated with the people. The people were desperate for the communications from the underground because they knew that the Pravda and Izvestia types, meaning ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, Fox, and MSNBC, are all government channels. So they were dying to hear from the true seers of their society. I, Michael Savage, am the chief member of this underground media, and it's a miracle that I'm still on the radio. With what has been done to me this year by various and sundry groups whose triggers were pulled by George Soros's Media Matters, which is the most Stalinist group America has ever seen. They should all be in prison as far as I'm concerned. They are not a legitimate organization. They're an un-American, anti-American group. And God in heaven, where is Joe McCarthy now that we need him? God in heaven, where is Herbert Hoover now that J. Edgar Hoover now that we need him? We have nobody to protect us from these Stalinist vermin except we the people. And so I'm still here by God's hand. I'm telling you, by God's grace, I'm still on the radio. I am the Samizdat of America. And what I'm getting at is, as times get worse and as the government control of the media becomes increasingly heavy-handed and you get less and less of what you want from those networks I just mentioned to you, this show will continue to grow and grow and grow. It's going to get bigger, not smaller. I can guarantee you. And at the same time, you are going to become more religious. You're going to turn back to religion as sure as I'm standing here. The simple pleasures that we've all learned to enjoy as children will come back to become important to you. I don't have to enumerate them to you. I'm telling you where this country is going. I'm as much a futurist as anybody you've ever met. And I don't give seminars on it to corporations. I know people who do that, and God bless them. But that's like thinking inside the box kind of futurist. Boring. In other words, an attempt to sell people something. What are they going to be buying? What color next year? What music are they going to be listening to? You know, well, all right, good. You have to make a buck, fine. But no, I'm not talking about that kind of futurism. I'm talking about people. So I asked you, what do you like about your religion? See, I've been getting a lot of angry mail over the last 2 years from a certain segment of the Christian community that hates me because I dared say that God is at the center of a wheel. And I call it the religion, the wheel of religion. And the center of it is God and all these other spokes of all of the world's religions. To me, I have found the unifying theory of religion. They hate me for it because they say that their religion is the only way. They are, in essence, no different than Al-Qaeda.
Well, sir, out in the woods one day, a hare was bragging about how fast he could run. Fastest runner in the woods, I am. Well, sir, up spoke an old tortoise. You make me tired, Mr. Hare. I'm not afraid. I'll race you, and I'll win. Now, I'm not so fast, but I'm steady and sure.
Well, let's pause right there. You can figure out why I'm running the tortoise and the hare. Anyone who can figure it out, call 1-800-449-8255 and tell me who I'm referring to in this fable of the tortoise and the hare, and you'll win a free copy of Psychological Nudity. Now, getting back to more serious topics, and you know I'm all over the map tonight as usual. I have the perfect mind for talk radio. OPEC members seek emergency meeting. Now, this is an interesting story. I'm not going to bore you with the details. Half the members of the OPEC oil cartel are meeting in Vienna next month because oil prices have dropped to the lowest level in a year. So they want to cut output, consumption, manufacturing of it, whatever. Now listen to this. The most militant or the most hawkish of the 13-member OPEC group include Iran, Libya, Nigeria, Iraq, Venezuela, and Ecuador. Now do you understand what I just said to you? We liberated those SOBs in Iraq. Those ungrateful pigs in Iraq were liberated, and those ungrateful pigs in Iraq have joined Iran and Venezuela to become amongst the most hawkish, and they've all lobbied for the cartel to drop output. You know, I say to those pigs in Iraq, you owe us for liberating you, you fat pigs, and we're taking it in oil, and you can't do anything about it because your army isn't worth jack. Our military should seize the oil of Iraq and pay back the $1 trillion that have bankrupted this country. You know, I've done the math. Very rough numbers. The bailout's about $1 trillion as of right now. The cost of the war is about $1 trillion. How many times has old Mike told you that the war was bankrupting America? How many years have I told you that wars have bankrupted empires and nations before? How many times have I compared George Bush to King Ludwig II of Bavaria? And I am telling you that the $1 trillion that those fat pigs in Iraq owe us can be had through the commodity called black gold, oil. Take it from those pigs. They owe it to us. But all right. Not one word of what I say is ever picked up by anybody except my millions of listeners. Now, what does that tell you? What does it tell you that a guy like Tom McCann, shoe salesman, never mind, he won't come on this show. That's a given. He won't go on Limbaugh's show. He won't go on O'Reilly's show. Why won't he go on those shows? There's only one answer. It's not that he's afraid to meet his own audience. The election is thrown by the Republican Party. They do not want to win. They don't want to win. I have felt this for a long time. I feel John McCain was selected to lose. He's the guy who's going to take the dive. Now, why would I say a thing like that? Here's how it works, ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation. And my father taught me this. He was a cynical man, I admit, from Russia, who had seen it all, came over to this country as an immigrant. And unfortunately for me, he brought me up with a very cynical attitude towards government. And here I am. Here I'm an adult, and he's been gone for 1970. God, that's a long time ago, 38 years. He died when I was very young, but he died from working too hard, as far as I'm concerned, and plus Philip Morris and the diet of Queens, the Queens diet, and some genetics thrown in, and just plain old sadness and misery. You know, God bless his soul. He said to me, "Little Michael, this is how this country works. There's two gangs of thieves. One gang is called the Republican gang. The other gang is called the Democrat gang. And what happens is, son, one gang wins for a certain number of years. And during that period of time, the other gang points fingers at him and tries to put him in jail for being crooks. Then when the people get fed up with the gang that's running things, why, the other gang gets to take over. And then the gang that's out of power, that had been in power, that had robbed the country, they get turned to point the fingers and put the other guys in jail." He said, "Well, you want to hear something miraculous, son?" He said, "It works. It's still the greatest country on earth. For some reason," he said, "it all works." So as you grow up, he said, "have no faith in politics or politicians because they're all thieves." Now, I was raised that way. So what can I tell you? Am I wrong? I believe the Republican thieves have so engorged themselves like lice on the public treasury that they're bursting. The blood is bursting out of their fat bellies. They don't even know what to do with the money they stole. They have nowhere to put it anymore. They don't know what to do with it. There's only a fleet of jets that you can buy. There's only so many horse ranches and prostitutes that you can own. They don't need it anymore. Now it's time for the other gang to get their licks in. And they don't want to win. They want Obama to inherit a broken nation. They want Obama to inherit a broken treasury. They want Obama to inherit a nation in disarray. They want Obama to inherit a broken war. They want Obama to inherit a nuclear holocaust. So they can stand on the side and say, "Oh, those Democrats, they're inept. They believe in tax and spend. Oh, those Democrats, oh, they're socialist. We're not socialist. Except when it comes to Wall Street and big business. And then we believe in Marxism, but not for the little guy. Oh, we believe in the free market. You schmucks who listen to Limbaugh, you don't even know what the free market is. It means we take it for free and you pay for it, you little schmuck." Play the tortoise in another piece. I don't want to play the tortoise in the hare. I asked you what you love about your religion. They're already not calling. They're hung up. The lights went dead. Nah, they're lit up. My mind is somewhere else. I'm tired of politics. It's over already. We could just call the election over already, not even vote. We see already which way the wind blows. And it blows right back to the 60s, to the weather on the ground, to Bill Ayers. What I have for you is Barack Hussein Obama's good friend, Bill Ayers, talking about his Weathermen on the Ground group and excerpts from Mark Rudd's memoirs in clip one, Bill Ayers. Obama's
toward the end of 1968, I had really decided that I was committed to being a part of what I thought was going to be a really serious and ongoing rebellion, upheaval that had the potential of not just ending the war, but of really overthrowing the capitalist system and put in its place something much more humane.
Now, let's pause right there. The socialist scum that I met in my life, mainly losers, as usual, usually they're people who can't make a dollar. They're usually people who can't write a book. They're usually people who have sexual dysfunction. They're usually people who had wives who left them. They're usually people who molested their daughter's friends during sleepovers. The socialists that I've met who hang around in various cafes around America waiting for the revolution will lose even after a revolution. What they don't understand is they're losers as communists, they're losers as capitalists. Their life's flotsam and jetsam, in other words. But a guy like Bill Ayers, who was a good friend of Barack Hussein Obama, wants to replace the capitalist system with something much more humane. Does he mean something more humane, such as that in the Soviet Union, where there were slave labor camps? Or does he mean the socialist system of Cuba, where so many thousands were executed by Fidel Castro? Or does he mean the humanity expressed by Pol Pot in Cambodia? Which humanity and humane system does he want to replace our system with? Let's go to clip two now for Obama's friend Bill Ayers.
The organization was unable to resolve the question of how militant, how far would we go. Some people felt, literally, that the bigger the mess we could make, the better. That is, that whatever it cost, whatever, you know, destructive kinds of activity we could do against the U.S. government, the better.
Bill Ayers, good friend of Barack Hussein Obama. Now let's go to some creature called Mark Rudd, who I don't even know who it is. His memoirs read by a female leftist scum with a mustache in clip three.
At that point in our thinking, there were no innocent Americans, at least not among the white ones.
Oh, there were no innocent Americans, at least not among the white ones. Now, let me go back now. Here's Mark Rudd, some leftist scum friend of Bill Ayers, the psychological friends of, the spiritual and psychological friends of Barack Hussein Obama. And this is what's coming to America, is this thinking, because all of these people have grown up. They're all around Obama. They have never changed their politics. And when Obama wins, they're going to be given major appointments. Listen to clip three again.
At that point in our thinking, there were no innocent Americans, at least not among the white ones.
So that means they could kill your daughter in a nursery school with a nail bomb. Here's a little bit more about what's coming in America, clip four.
Just like the passive Americans we derided, I acquiesced to this terrible, demented logic. Not only was I willing to take the risks and suffer the consequences, but more importantly, I was overwhelmed by hate. I cherished my hate as a badge of moral superiority.
He cherished his hate as a badge of moral superiority. Does that not remind you of every liberal you've ever met in your life? Does that not describe their faces, their persona? They cherish their hate as a badge of moral superiority. You get it? This is what's coming to America. Get ready. What they don't know is the American people are ready for them. So anyway, you want to go back to religion, oil, market up, market down. You've seen nothing yet. The gangsters on Wall Street just gave another $37 billion to AIG. It's on my website, michaelsavage.com. This is after the $400,000 party. AIG, and they're not in jail. And he gave a big speech about it. His heart was broken about how the company. You know, the Congress has arrest powers. They could have arrested him on the spot because he lied. He violated SEC rules. He violated federal law. The reason neither of the parties will take a dime back from any of them is because they seeded Wall Street with plenty of money over the years. And that's why last night neither the tortoise nor the hare would refer to this topic. The tortoise and the hare are both owned lock, stock, and double gun barrels. What would you like to talk about? Religion, oil, the meaning of tonight, the debate, Tom Brokaw, whether he's from the Mesozoic or the Paleozoic. McCain, oh God, John, it's sad. Sad to watch. Can he just throw in the towel already? It's like when you watch a fight and you see someone taking a beating, you know, their second sometimes will throw the towel in. They don't want him to die altogether. Unless, I don't want to go there. I'm sorry. I don't want to go there. Oh, my God. I just had a flash of fear. Oh, my God. Oh, God. I just got a new image now. Oh, I see it. But I can't say it. I can't say it for fear of being arrested immediately. I just had an insight that oh, God, I hope it's just paranoia. I hope it's plain garden variety paranoia just ran through my mind. Oh, I just had a garden variety paranoiac flash of how it all ends. And also the October surprise. My God, that's horrible. What a horrible thought. What a horrible thought. But it could happen. It could easily happen. It can't happen here. Over there. Over there. Oh, the Yanks are running. The Yanks are running. Over there.
Over there.
I'll turn it off. No one asked for that corny British music now. Come on. I know you thought I wanted it. All right. York, Pennsylvania. Cindy, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello there.
Hello.
Number one, I am a New Age person who is actually a Republican, which is rare. Number two.
Oh, they're all New Agers. All the Republican Party that just stole the Treasury are all New Agers. They have no conscience.
Most New Agers are female lesbian witches who are Democrats, unfortunately.
Is that true? Is that really true?
From talking to them, yes.
But are you of the same orientation?
Oh, no. No.
You're not a female. You're not. Okay. We don't have to delve into it. Yes.
Well, I'm going to explain that by my second comment that my husband is going to write you in for president.
No, don't waste your vote.
That's what I told him, but.
No. I don't want that. I could start a write-in campaign and probably get, you know, a couple hundred thousand people to do it. I don't want to do that. I'm not that. You know, who needs that attention?
No, you do.
But what's the main reason you called?
My main reason was about the favorite things about my religion. And I am actually a Levian Satanist.
What does that actually mean? Tell me what that means.
Well, there are two kinds of Satanists. Anton LaVey, who started the Church of Satan back in the 60s, that is the kind of Satanist that I am.
Do you kill things?
No.
So what do you mean Satanist? That sounds exciting and sexy, but what do you do?
What we actually do is they believe highly in survival of the fittest, being yourself, the three main tenets that are my...
Wait, survival of the fittest and being yourself, it sounds like the Republican Party.
Well, that's why I'm a Republican. Of the religion that are my favorite tenets are be yourself, don't be a hypocrite. Anton LaVey actually said, if you're going to be a sinner, be the best sinner on the block.
Amen.
They also believe in responsibility to the responsible, which would be a very Republican idea. And
when did Republicans start to believe in responsibility? When did that occur?
I guess I'm naive. I still believe in that.
Yeah. Okay, but let's cut to the chase. What is a Satanist, really? It's like making yourself sound like wild and freer than the other people, right?
No, if you actually really read Anton LaVey.
But Cindy, listen, you know, we live in a free country where you could believe or not believe in anything. That's number one, and I'm not here to tell anyone what to believe in. Every person has to come to that on their own. To me, all religions boil down, and I heard this from an old blind man who was age 80, and I was a young guy like 20. On a ship going to Europe a long time ago. And I said to him, what's the meaning of life? And he looked at me with blind eyes. He looked up from the bed, the bunk he was in. We were in a 4-bunk cabin. He was an 80-year-old in a bunk with guys in their 20s. And he's an old guy, blah, blah, blah. The other guys are partying on the upper deck. I was like Mr. Thoughtful. I asked old man, what's the meaning of life? And he looked up at me and he said, I guess you're born holding it and you die holding it. He said, that's the meaning of life. Now, he also said other things. He also said to me that all religions boil down to one thing, which is do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Do you believe that?
No.
Your tenet is the opposite, which is do others before they do you?
Pretty much. Anton LaVey says that if your brother smites you on the cheek, smack him in the jaw. Have him never come back to you. Teach him what for.
Well, what do you think these Wall Street thieves, what do you think they believe in? I'll be right back.
Savage.
music. I'm in so. No. Hold it. I'm sorry. Time is so short, we can't even play sound. Joe, Tampa, Florida. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. Who is the tortoise and who's the hare?
I got to tell you, I was laughing my butt off because before you even asked who it was, I knew exactly who it was. It was McCain and Obama.
Bingo! You win a free copy of Psychological Nudity. Which story do you not want to? You can't wait to read as which.
I want to hear the one I heard the very beginning, and then I didn't hear the rest of it. I want to hear about your first autopsy.
Well, they did. Okay, that'll be great. Stand in line, you get a free copy. Now, I want to say this to you. I was in a bar in Newport, California about 6 weeks ago. So now Newport has a lot of people who are like Hawaii, you know, 60s guys getting women. They got older. They're just laid back, a lot different than anywhere else in California. You know, they drink a lot and they have a good time, in other words, something I'm not used to. And there was a guy about 6'5", size 55 shoulders, huge man. And he had a T-shirt on. And I'll put it in a family style. It said, "It is better to have loved and lost than to have lived with a psychotic nut for 38 years. Well, I started to laugh hysterically in the bar. And I went up to him and I said, "Sir, that's a great T-shirt." And we had a lot of fun for a few minutes. Everyone I've told it to loves it. I know a Chinese guy who wants to put one of those out in a T-shirt in Chinese. The word is not nut, by the way. So he said to me, "Well, do you know why divorce is so expensive?" I said, "Why?" He said, "Because it's worth it." There was a guy who was jaded. But he was laughing with his friends. You know, better to have loved and lost than to have lived with a psychotic nut for 38 years. And then he follows it up now with the next one. Says to a stranger, "Do you know why divorce is so expensive?" "Duh, no." "Because it's worth it." I guess there's a guy who kind of has come to his cynical self. Well, welcome back to the Savage Nation. Again, you know the phone number, the website, you know this, you know that, you know that, you know this. We got more coming. Be here or be absolutely bored out of your mind.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Point in our thinking, there were no innocent Americans, at least not among the white ones. Just like the passive Americans we derided, I acquiesced to this terrible, demented logic. Not only was I willing to take the risks and suffer the consequences, but more importantly, I was overwhelmed by hate. I cherished my hate as a badge of moral superiority.
Well, sir, out in the woods one day, a hare was bragging. Bragging about how fast he could run. "Fastest runner in the woods, I am." "Well, sir," up spoke an old tortoise. "You make me tired, Mr. Hare. I'm not afraid. I'll race you, and I'll win. Now, I'm not so fast, but I'm steady and sure. I may start slow and I may finish slow, but I'll keep going."
All right, let's pause right here. So I mixed some sound here. The first sounds were from a leftist from the 60s named Mark Rudd, read by a female narrator, who said there were no innocent Americans, at least not among the white ones, and then how he cherished his hate as a badge of moral superiority. And what I'm getting at is many of those people are still alive and working for Barack Obama. Many of them are waiting with bloodthirsty lips, waiting for the takeover of the country. We are talking about a small cadre of radical 60s revolutionaries that will make Bill and Hillary Clinton look like the radical conservatives they are. And I will tell you as I sit here that this is going to happen. Listen to clips one and two now.
Toward the end of 1968, I had really decided that I was committed to being a part of what I thought was going to be a really serious and ongoing rebellion, upheaval, that had the potential of not just ending the war, but of really overthrowing the capitalist system and put in its place something much more humane. The organization was unable to resolve the question of how militant, how far would we go. Some people felt, literally, that the bigger the mess we could make, the better. That is, that whatever it cost, whatever, you know, destructive kinds of activity we could do against the U.S. government, the better.
And that included killing white people. That's Bill Ayers, a good friend of radical Barack Hussein Obama, whose citizenship is being questioned by Democrats themselves because they will not produce his birth certificate from Hawaii because it may not exist. You understand that you have to be a U.S. citizen to run for the presidency. You do know that. That's like basic 101. And there are questions now about Barack Hussein Obama's citizenship. I know you don't want to hear it, but I'm telling you, it's a reality. And the race, to me, looks like it's over. What I saw last night, it was pathetic. I don't have to go into it. It was a setup from day one, from the get-go. McCain acted like a loser, didn't go for the throat. And the setup was that they stood on their feet the whole time, and the poor old injured McCain from his war injuries, you know, looked hunched up while the other one looked straight and ramrod like a military hero, even though he never served in the police athletic league. And, of course, the other one who's done nothing but put posters up on bulletin boards as a community organizer. That's his executive experience, Obama, is putting up flyers on telephone poles and organizing a bunko in the form of ACORN groups that held up the government. That's his organizational experience. And he's running against McCain, who, you know, look, he, whatever he is, you can trust him. You can trust him to be a Bush 3. Now you say, well, why would you want that? Because if it's a choice between Bush 3 and Marx 2, I'll take Bush 3. Okay? I know who McCain is. I don't expect anything from him any more than I expected from Bush going back to 2000. Can things get worse? They can get a lot worse. Study your history. Oh, they can get worse. And they have gotten worse in this country. The government has shot people. The government has shot people. Well, let's go back a little bit. The killings at Kent State, 1970. Student radical bums like the ones I've been playing thought that they were free to protest at Kent State University, and they were. But they went a little further than protesting. They were empowered with their marijuana heads, and the National Guard was called out, and they were shot and killed, a bunch of them. It was pretty horrible to watch, but it happened. Let's go back in history. World War I. After World War I, the veterans came home, and they were starving to death. There was nothing waiting for them. So they wanted to peacefully protest outside the White House. They set up Hoovervilles. Wasn't it around after World War I, if maybe my times are a little compressed here? And they were told to disperse from the Capitol grounds. They wouldn't. These are war veterans. And the president at the time had the U.S. military open fire and kill veterans, shoot them dead on the Capitol Mall. So don't assume that things can't get worse. They can get a lot worse. And the story that I told you about last week about the U.S. military training a National Guard unit that was in 1930s, is a true story. It comes from the Army Times. There's an entire unit being trained to deploy in the streets of America, not National Guard, but U.S. military. George Bush apparently knocked out the Posse Comitatus Act, which has been in place since the Civil War. I mean, maybe the left was right. Maybe the left was right about certain things, and maybe George Bush is a dictator already. They're certainly getting away with sacking the Treasury. I mean, when a foreign army invades a country, traditionally what they do is they sack the Treasury and the granaries. You go back in historical times, they come in, they break in, and they take the gold and the wheat, right? The grain and the gold. Those bums on Wall Street are like a foreign military who broke in and stealing the gold. There is no gold. They're sucking it dry. They gave They gave, how much did they give to AIG? 88, I don't even know the number. I can't even remember the number. $80 billion, $87 billion. They used it all up already. Yeah, here it is. It's on my website. They gave $85 billion to the criminal thief bums at AIG last month. They said it's all used up. They just gave them $38 billion more today at 5 o'clock Eastern when the when everyone went home. Now, if you don't think that's criminality, I'd like to know what is. What is criminal behavior? Tell me what criminal behavior is. So, you know, what I'm getting at is things are going to get a lot worse before they get better. I'll tell you right now, they are going to get worse before they get better. But remember this, your parents lived through much different times than you did. Not that they were hard, but your grandparents may have lived through hard times. If they go back to the Great Depression, they'll tell you what life could be like in this country. So they also survived. The point is they also survived, so they had less. So what's the big deal? I mean, these are nothing things. What do you really need out of life? And when you break it all down, what do you really need? You're born with nothing and you die with nothing. Well, what do you need? You can't take it with you. What do you need it for? What are you going to die because you don't have 8 vacations a year? So have one vacation a year. Drive somewhere. I don't understand it. I mean, how much does a man really need? Do I have nice things? Yes. Do I need them? No. There's a difference between having and needing. That's all. But I earned it. I didn't take it from anybody. I didn't steal it from anybody. I don't work on Wall Street. I was never a lawyer. I never screwed anybody like lawyers. You wonder why they have such wonderful lives, why their wives leave them and their children become drug addicts and perverts. Florida, Tom, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, good evening, Dr. Savage. First, a little levity. I saw a T-shirt in the same vein you were talking about before the other break. Why do men die before their wives?
Because they want to.
Yeah.
I heard that.
Second of all, I just wanted to say, I've been listening to you a long time. I agree with you on every point. You're the only one out there really calling a spade a spade. And I, as a...
Well, look, everybody does it their own way. I knock the other guys. It doesn't matter. You know, we need them all. Right now, we need everybody we can get because everyone has their own style and their own way of reaching people. So mine is a little different. But the others try their best to reach you in their own way. And we're all trying to tell you we're the right one and we're the only one and we're the right way. Like, each of us is like a religious guy with their own religion, the one true way, you know. But at the end of the day, you know, there's room for everybody.
I get to listen to you, and I listen to all of them, to be honest with you. You know, you're the only one that I feel like you're sitting down right in front of me talking to me. And,
that's a double compliment coming from a man with a different accent than mine, with a different background than mine, from a different generation than my own. If I can connect with you, then I'm connecting with an awful lot of people, Tom.
Well, you are connecting with an awful lot of people. And the fact is that a lot of Americans feel exactly the way you feel. They are outraged the way you're outraged, including myself. And it's just backwards. Everything to me is backwards. Good is bad.
Backwards.
Bad is good.
Right. Up is down, down is up. The Republicans who claim they were free market types turn out to be big government socialists for the rich.
Terrible. It's terrible, and I'm ashamed of the representative of the Republican Party. I it's weak.
Well, without naming names, don't you feel that you've been misled by certain people in the conservative media?
Absolutely. Absolutely, I've been misled. I've been misled because while the Democrats have agendas, the Republicans have been just as bad at this.
Yes.
And why they souped McCain up there, I have no idea.
I have an idea because he's a fall guy. Remember, that's a possibility. I can't prove it. I suspect it. But isn't it a possibility that he was set up to lose?
I knew after the first half hour last night it was over. Stick a fork in him. It's over.
Yes.
It's over.
Yep.
And I hear you.
All right, Tom, I'm going to make your day a lot better. If you can name one story you cannot wait to read in Psychological Nudity, you'll get a free copy. Which story?
I want to hear about your childhood.
All right, that's fair enough. There's lots of them in there. And stay on the line. Tom's getting a free copy of my new autobiography, Savage Radio Stories, which, by the way, was shipped from the printer today. I cannot wait to see this book. I made the hardcover ivory. The spine is silver. No, really, I picked every aspect of it. I've never done this with a book. I'm thrilled. It's a beautiful hardcover edition. It's a first printing, first edition. It will not be It may be reprinted, but it will never be another first printing, first edition again. I'll be right back. Savage.
I'm a life member of the NRA. I hunt, I fish, I love the outdoors. I love this country and I support Barack Obama.
Barack Obama supports gun rights, our right to defend ourselves, the Second Amendment. That's the truth. Here's some more. John McCain's just out of touch. He voted to keep tax breaks for companies that ship our jobs overseas.
We got problems. And I believe Barack Obama is our best hope for true change in Washington.
I'm Barack Obama and I approve this message. As an American, I've never taken my freedoms for granted.
As a retired law enforcement officer, I've seen firsthand the tragedy that happens when people are stripped of their gun rights.
Families should be able to defend themselves against rapists, drug dealers, and other criminals illegally crossing our borders. But Barack Obama didn't think we should be allowed to use a firearm for self-defense. He even voted to allow the prosecution of people who use firearms to defend their families in their own homes.
That's just wrong. On Election Day, join me in protecting our right of self-defense. Defend freedom. Defeat Obama.
Well, there's both sides of the story. You know that Obama's a gun grabber. You know that his party is a party of gun haters. Gun neurotics is what I call liberals. They actually don't own guns because they're afraid they'll shoot themselves or their wives. I have found that most liberals don't have guns in the house because they're afraid of killing themselves. Most of them are very unstable. I'm telling you what I've observed. They are afraid of having a gun in the house for fear of their own emotions. And consequently, Obama is a manifestation of that mentality. And that's why I say to you, this should have been discussed last night. But we had the Paleozoic creature from the Black Lagoon, Tom Brokaw, as moderator. He was as close to a Hadrosaurus, which was the first known duck-billed dinosaur that lived and traveled in herds, but was not particularly ferocious despite its huge size. So Brokaw is the Hadrosaurus with a big voice, like all of those in the midstream media. They travel in herds, but they're not particularly ferocious, and they hate guns. They hate the flag. They hate God. They hate religion. Well, they hate everything that you love, and therefore Barack Obama, because he represents them. I wish I could say I'm excited about the tortoise, but I'm not. Either way, they're only the faces of the real power. You know that. It's a puppet show. How many times have I told you? 1,000 times. I'll say it 1,001. I want you to envision a large figure behind the screen with two hands. In one hand is a hand puppet called McCain. In the other hand is a hand puppet called Obama. He sticks the hands through the black screen, and he has them make-believe shadow dancing with each other. But behind the screen is the real puppeteer. Who that is anyone's guess. We have a pretty good guess right now that it's Henry Paulson, who is also a front man for some other interests. I don't think it's Henry Paulson. I think he's another shadow puppet of the real manipulators. And who they are is anyone's guess. There are a few names come to mind. We probably have never heard of them. That's my guess. We don't even know who they are. So, or do you want to talk about religion? Because that's where we're all going to go anyway. One way or the other, we're going to go to a different life. All of us are going to a different lifestyle as sure as I'm sitting here. And I asked you, what do you love about your religion? I just don't have enough time to develop all these ideas. Thank God I am flooded with advertisers who love Michael Savage and understand the audience is a loyal audience that buys everything you listen to. Thank God they were not deterred by the illegal aliens and the foreigners who are in that fake group that pretends to be a civil rights group that the government backs instead of me. Oh, more on the CARE thing very soon, by the way. Oh, yes. They are now suing for legal fees that are 5 times higher than what they probably actually spent. And I've had to spend another very large sum of money to defend myself, which is, again, going before the very same left-wing Clinton-appointed judge who found in their favor. You don't know any of this because I keep you out of it. There are other reasons I withdrew the case that have to do with personal safety, which I will not discuss. One day we will have a just government that will find in favor of American citizens and American patriots, and they will uncover the mask behind terrorist front groups. We are not there yet. This is the Savage Nation. Pray for
Savage.
Me. Boy, I have so much fun with the guys during breaks. I can't even repeat what we do. It's all stuff I can't say on air. And I said to him, if you could collect a tape of the stuff I say and you say, the laughter we have during the breaks, what a CD that would be. But as you well know, there's certain things you can't say. It's as close as you can come to reality, of my reality, as you get on the show. But believe me, this is just the tip of the iceberg. So here we are, here we are, here we are, here we are. We're getting ready for the communist takeover of America with a non-citizen at the helm. I love it. He won't even produce a birth certificate. Don't you love that? There was something as basic as Obama's birth certificate now is an issue. I mean, if he's got nothing to hide, show it to me. It doesn't exist. It does not exist. They can't find it in the Hawaii government. It's never been produced. The one that was produced is a forgery. Go to my website. Read the story. Who's proposing this notion? Not me. It's a Democrat, a leading Democrat from Pennsylvania, is suing the Obama campaign, claiming he's not a citizen. So that's why I'm already drifting off into religion, because to me, that's where many people are going to wind up going again, back to what they left originally. Lauren in New York, welcome from WOR land. What's on your mind?
I agree with you that people will embrace their religion in coming years. That is, if religion, any religion besides radical Islam exists. I believe that your listeners really need to remember that although this country is in big trouble, God is in charge, Dr. Savage.
Well, if he's in charge, he ought to come down and give us a good talking to, because, boy, do we need a lecture.
That's for sure. But, you know, at one point I was very confused about God. I don't proselytize at all. I'm still kind of confused. But my sister gave me a great definition, the best definition I've ever heard about God. And that is that God is like a mirror. The mirror never changes, but everyone who looks into it sees something different.
Well, we'll leave it at that, and amen to that. I trust believing people. I like believing people. They're the backbone of America. Certainly not the degenerates. They can't be seen as the backbone. They're the tailpipe. I mean, if people are organs in a body politic, the liberal would be the tailpipe of the body. So you got to go with the heart and the soul, you know. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. We're just sitting there watching the world go around like a giant carousel. Something came in my mind and left already. I can't even remember what it is. I'm not that excited about the election anymore. I'm indifferent. I become like I don't care who wins at this point. I just don't care. I don't believe either party. I never did, but I more so now after the Wall Street thievery in front of our eyes and the fake hearings the other day by Nostrelman. Mr. Nostrelman pretended he was outraged. Didn't arrest anyone. No one was charged. Nothing. But he went on and on. All Republicans were up there. Why didn't he investigate Fannie and Freddie? Because they're his friends. They put him in office. Why? So I have no faith in the system whatsoever. I have faith in the Founding Fathers' documents, which protect all of us against these gangsters. You understand that? And anyone who tries to take any of our document is an enemy of the state. Anyone who tries to take away any of the First, Second Amendments, et cetera, is an enemy of the state. You know, you say, well, what did Bush do? Is he the worst president in history? In many ways, yes. But in one way, no. And if you remember 3 months ago, I wrote an editorial for this show, a monologue, where I said that Bush could be remembered as a great president for one thing alone. It may have overridden everything else he's done, and that is his two Supreme Court appointees, Alito and Roberts, who are by no means super conservatives, but they're moderate center-right. And they're the only reason we now have a Second Amendment. You understand it was that close? And you understand that if Obama becomes president, he will replace some of the aging liberals with some phenomenally young, unqualified, monster leftists like of the William Ayers variety. You could wake up one day and see an outright SDS type on the Supreme Court, Students for Democratic Society, who were the most monstrous of the Maoists. They were killers. They were cowardly murderers. They're the ones who put pipe bombs on the police cars. And if you think they're all gone, you're mistaken. Some of them are in Congress. Some of them are in, most of them are academia and in the media, but some of them are in Congress. Incidentally, there is good news on the horizon. That loudmouth deviant, Bill Maher, did a movie over the weekend, which I knew would flop, where he attacked religion. Nobody went to it. So don't say there's not a God in heaven. That deviant slob from Sunset Boulevard. And if you think God isn't going to get even with him for that, you're mistaken. Oh, you're mistaken. Oh, you are mistaken. I'm actually, in many ways, like a child. I mean, I actually believe in crime and punishment. I believe in all of that stuff. I feel good about it. I feel honored to believe in crime and punishment. I feel honored to believe in good and evil. I feel honored to believe in truth and lies. Do you understand that I feel honored that I actually, at this age, still believe in that stuff? And that when I go before God and I apologize to him and I beg his forgiveness, I'm glad the tears come to my eyes. I'm glad that I have a sincere heart. I'm glad. I'm proud of myself. I'm proud that I've been able to maintain some degree of childishness in myself all these years after all of what I've seen and what I've done and who I am and how imperfect I am and what you see in yourself as you get older and look and find out that you're not who you thought you were in some ways and you're better in some ways but horrible in others. And the things you've said to people that you wish to God you had never said with your big mouth. And maybe some of the things you've done that you wish to God you could take back, but you can't. Despite all of that, you go before God and you absolve yourself of your sins because no one's perfect. If you were perfect, you would be a saint. If you were perfect, perfect, you'd be God himself. And as a wise woman said to me, God doesn't want any competition. That's why he made man. And I think that's pretty well put. Yes, we are all fallen angels in that regard. And we can't expect our politicians to be better than us because they're not. We wish they were. They're supposed to be. They're supposed to be our leaders, but we all know they're worse than most of us. See, that's the fundamental distemper in the landscape right now, is that not only do we see anyone who's better than us running for office, but we see men who are lesser than most of us running for office. A local Boy Scout leader is more qualified than Barack Obama to be president. A local police chief is more qualified than McCain to be president, an honest police chief. Do you understand that? I mean, it's unbelievable to me. Why do I say that? Because McCain is not a bad man, but he's a bag man. He's not a bad man, but he's a bag man. He's been a bag man for his whole career. Moderate. He boasted last night that he's a man who gets along with the other side, that he's done McCain. Fine, go to McCain, Kennedy. I wanted to break the television set. Because I've told you 100 times I don't want a compromiser as president. I want a clear choice between the radical leftist socialist communist party, USA, which is the Democrats of today, and a rock-ribbed conservative. Let the chips fall where they may. McCain keeps thinking by playing to the center he's going to win more voters. No, all he's going to do is lose his base. That's all he's doing, is losing his base every day and in every way. I knew he wouldn't come on this show. I never tried. We tried once and he gave up. But when I heard he wouldn't go on Limbaugh or the Leprechaun, I couldn't believe it. Even the Leprechaun, with all of his posturing to being unmoderate and fair and this and that, he wouldn't even go near him. Why wouldn't he go near the Leprechaun? Why? And Palin wouldn't go near the Leprechaun. I was stunned to learn that they won't go near anyone who could possibly vote for them. Wow, are they stupid. What are they hiding? Someone's going to ask him a question. Where do you stand on the Second Amendment? Where do you stand on illegal immigration? Where do you stand on language, English language? Where do you stand on God? Where do you stand on the Ten Commandments? Well, what's so hard about that? You can't answer it? No, I guess he can't answer it because the people running his campaign are dinosaurs. So there you are. You're lucky that you still have a belief in something. What do you believe in? Do you believe in a religion? As I said, the Jewish people confess their sins once a year on Yom Kippur. The Catholics developed it once a week. I don't know. It's probably good to do it 3 times a day. There's 3 masses a day. I could see why. If you're really bad, you got to get in there 3 times a day. And since you're born bad through original sin, it makes sense to confess 3 times a day. There must be something amazing about confession. It's free. It's free, number one. You don't have to pay a shrink like $300 an hour because there's a lot of really guilty people go to like a psychiatrist once a day. But basically, it's the confessional, but it's charged. They charge for it. It's like the capitalist system, the capitalist equivalent of the confession. You got to pay some guy with a degree to tell you that you're okay, even though you did the most horrible things imaginable. No, it's okay as long as you feel that way. What are you going to do? If it feels good, do it. Look, I'm on your side. The whole family hates you. They're all wrong. Just because you did various things doesn't mean nothing. Whatever. Dr. Freud says, if it feels good, do it. Whatever. Never mind what your mother and father taught you. Never mind what you did to your little sister when no one was looking. Did it feel good? All right, you're acting out. I wouldn't recommend it again because I can go to jail if I do. But on the other hand, it wasn't so bad because you'll come back over and over again because of the big sin. It wasn't so bad if it feels good to you. Don't worry, you're right. Whatever feels good is good, says Dr. Freud. That's psychiatry. I mean, more or less, I'm using a fake, you know, Freudian, mock Freudian accent for effect. And that's it. There's good news, there's bad news, but it's mainly horrible. Terrible. Things have never been worse in America. Horrible. Horrible wherever you look. But nowhere near what it's going to be like. Picture plywood in front of stores on Fifth Avenue. Picture riots for food, food riots. Picture uprising because the gangsters are not through robbing us yet. I thought they were through. I thought Paulson and his gang were finished. No, they just got started. Look, if a guy's a crook, as I'm not suggesting he is, but let's put it to you this way. If a man could walk into a bank, any bank, and say, give me $800 billion, and they give it to him, why wouldn't he come in the next day and say, now I want another $150 billion to go with it? Okay, here it is. And if AIG, if the gangsters got away with robbing the company blind, and they got $85 billion last week, and they went through it all in a week, why wouldn't they come back to the government and say, give me another, you know, X billion dollars? They gave more. Gave them today another $37.8 billion to AIG. Why not? Why shouldn't they? If there's no consequences to thievery, why would the thief stop? You understand that? You say, well, where's the government? They are the government. How many times have I told you the politicians are mere figureheads? The real government is on Wall Street. Wall Street has no loyalty to any nation. There is no borders to Wall Street. There is no language to Wall Street. There is no culture to Wall Street. They are the ultimate scum of the earth. They are the ultimate vermin. They're the lowest of the low. They're worse than Attila the Hun. What they just did to this country is far worse than what Osama bin Laden dreamed of doing. I said it to you first. I said it to you when this first came down. I said what Osama bin Laden dreamed of doing on 9/11, Wall Street did to you on 9/15/2008. I'm Michael Savage, and I approve of this monologue, and I'll be right back.
Savage.
Savage Nation. Well, I'm looking forward to Fleet Week out here in San Francisco this weekend. And the Blue Angels are going to be flying starting Friday. And I love the Angels. I think they're the greatest. And I love that the hippie drug addicts in San Francisco hate them. I love that the hippie drug addict commie scum who own fraudulent bookstores, which they robbed from their wife, hate the Blue Angels. Why are you flying over my neighborhood? The sound upsets me. Why are you rattling the windows? Why are you such a militant military type? They're just jealous. They can't even drive their hybrid in a straight line. They're jealous that these guys are so skilled and so brave. Anyway, I'll go out on my boat this year. Usually I don't because there's 1,000 drunks out there with the engines idling. This year I think I'll go out with a group of people on the boat and watch the Blue Angels. Then on Monday night, when is that? I don't even know today's date. What is today's date, guys? Oh, Monday night, October the 13th, I've been invited aboard a Navy ship, the USS Bonhomme Richard, which I'm going aboard because I'm a member of the U.S. Navy League, which you should join, by the way. I was on that year, a couple of years ago. It's just incredible. The reception is Monday night, San Francisco, USS Bon Homme Richard. It's got an interesting history, that ship. What security? I love it. You want to talk about security? I mean, you cannot get near that ship. Your name has to be on 8 different lists. And the young guys, they're like 17, 18, the girls and guys, they're packing machine guns. It's wonderful. You have to drive through like cordons, like Lebanon, to get your car in there. But you know, once you're in there, you know you're safe. That's the good part. You're amongst Americans, real Americans, honest Americans. The America that lives in my heart is there on that ship. And you see these kids, 18 years old, with submachine guns. Some of them are girls. It's really quite an experience. I love it. I'd like to see them on the streets of San Francisco. Get rid of the gangs. Get rid of the mayor. Get rid of the supervisors. Lock them all up and put in a clean government. Whoa, that would be great. What a city this could be. What a city this could be if it was liberated from these left-wing vermin, these gangsters. They let illegal alien criminals run wild in the streets and cover for them when they get caught selling crack. You hear this? Yeah, there's an investigation going on. The U.S. attorney has finally put out an investigation. I hope to God some of the very same supervisors who have covered for the illegal aliens who attacked me wind up in prison. I hope to God they wind up in Lompoc next to Bernie Ward. And thank God that there's justice in heaven. Coming up next in the next hour, because I got to get Pau Hanna out of here early tonight, is my good friend Rick Roberts, who's going to sit in the seat for you. I like the way Obama has that little flourish at the end of his voice. I'm trying to get used to it. First, I don't really like it, but I said, you better get used to it because you're going to be hearing it for the next 80 years. You know, he has a certain flourish, like the weatherman on Channel 5. He's a very skilled orator. And the tortoise, oh, my God, it's like the slow ski ad for DSL. My God. I mean, there's a certain advantage to that when there's an advantage to it, but when there's no advantage to it, it's a deficit. You know what I'm saying? And when you let the hair run around you in circles, and the most you could do is like a bad it's like the slow skis. I don't know what to say to you other than what I've said to you. Just pray for your forgiveness. Pray God for forgiveness because you're all no good. We're all no good. That should relieve you. You watch all these shows and they disinter Chinese from 5,000 years ago. They can't leave them alone. Can't somebody pass a law where they're not allowed to dig up corpses thousands of years later? Can't they stop it? I don't like that they dig them up. There's like a Chinese rich woman from the 12th century. They went down like an apartment building in depth. They dug and they dug and then they dug. I don't want to see her x-rays of her skull. It's horrible. It gives me the chills. Isn't there any respect for anything in this world anymore? No. We live in the most debased times in human history. It seems like we're lower than we were in the Middle Ages. We're actually descending almost before the age of reason, back to the age of something pre-reason. I've never seen anything like it. There's no dignity. There's no respect for humanity, whether it be abortion, euthanasia, homosexuality. I put them all in the same category. I believe the Pope is right. They're all acts of anti-life, from my point of view. You may disagree with me, but that would make you a normal American. That would make you an average American who has no soul. You've given your soul up a long time ago. Yes, I'm judging you. Ooh, how judgmental. That's right. That's my middle name. Well, who do you think you are? God Almighty? No, I'm not God Almighty, but I know right from wrong, and you should also. And let me tell you something. Deep within you, you know I'm right. That's why you're listening. And I have millions of listeners, amongst whom many of them are liberals. And you know why they listen to me? Because there's a still small voice in them that tries to break free through the wine high and the Prozac high. There's still small voice that says, you know something, I believe this guy is right. They remember what right is, and they know what wrong is, and they know that I'm on the side of right and they're on the side of wrong. You understand what I just said to you? Because I am not telling you what is not to be true. I am telling you what is true, and it's not coming from me, it's coming through me. It's not coming from me, it's coming through me, because all the words I've said to you about right and wrong are not invented by me. They're only transmitted through me. Make no mistake about it. These words are not my words. They are coming through me to you. God bless America. God bless America. And God bless America. Save us from Obama and McCain.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Rick Roberts setting in for Michael Savage. You are on the Savage Nation. Michael, thank you for the opportunity once again. I appreciate it very, very much. Always a pleasure to be in this seat when the opportunity presents itself. And psychological nudity. I think you heard Michael talking a little earlier. The first delivery came. So those of you that ordered should be getting your books if you don't have them already. I'm going to try to do what I can in this hour by putting a copy or two. That's okay with Michael. He doesn't mind. Psychological Nudity, Michael's fifth book, the first four bestsellers. I'm sure the fifth one will be as well, a collection of a lot of the stories you've heard here on the Savage Nation. And so if you can tell me what your favorite story is that you're looking forward to, then what we'll do is try to get a book, Psychological Nudity, in your hands. All right? Now, toll-free, 1-800-449-8255, 1-800-449-TALK. I got to touch on the debate that wasn't last night. I was traveling, so when I finally landed, I turned on one of the cable channels to watch the replay in its entirety. And I thought initially, okay, well, it's because I'm tired and maybe I'm just not seeing it properly. I'm not looking at it correctly. But no, that wasn't it. It was the fact that John McCain didn't show up. I'm voting for John McCain just to keep a socialist and his communist friends out of the White House. I think every free American is obligated to do so. But having said that, this was supposed to be an open format, a town hall, touchy feely. What do you think? What are your moralities? What are your work ethics? You know, all of that kind of thing. Much like the first debate. Remember the first debate in the church? Yeah, that made perfect sense, and that's what the American people want. What I heard last night, primarily from in the presidential debate, primarily from John McCain, was a rehash of all the campaign speeches, and. You know, God bless him. He appears physically stiff, and that's to be expected because of his service to this country and all the horrors he went through as a POW. But when I said he's stiff and a bit stoic, I wasn't talking about him physically. I was talking about the lack of passion. It's just like he perhaps wasn't prepared, and I can't believe that. He's running for president of the United States. I think you're going to get a little prepared before you go into a debate. I don't think it was that. It's just like the passion was gone. Like somebody reached into his soul and took something out, and he was searching for it. On the other hand, Barack Obama, you know, I looked at it this way. Barack Obama sitting on the stool, and by the way, Brokaw should be banished to some third world country to start up a broadcasting school or something. That was the most horrific thing I've ever seen. You know, what he basically boiled this thing down into a cabinet secretary meeting on three issues, taxes, health care, and the economy, when it could have been so much more. But that's, you know, I'm not voting for Brokaw. So I'm looking at Barack Obama sitting on the stool. You probably saw this too. Sitting on the stool, got the microphone in his left hand in a very Clinton-esque type fashion where he kind of lets the mic kind of droop off to one side in his left hand as he's leaning on the table. He's got one foot up on the first rung of the bar stool. He's got the other foot kind of sitting on the floor out a little bit. Got his hand on his waist. I swear, if you'd have put a cigarette in a scotch glass in each hand and a couple scantily clad women behind him, it would have been a revision of the Dean Martin variety show. He looked like everybody. I mean, he's just sitting there, and it's like, totally comfortable. This ain't no thing. Okay, say your little thing. Okay, now let me inform the people. I mean, he looked comfortable. He was well-spoken. Most of what he said was inaccurate. Most of what he said didn't make sense. He's the only guy I've ever seen that can talk for 5 minutes, keep people totally enthralled, and say absolutely nothing. But that's what most socialists do. And but he just had that physical, I'm glad to be here, and Brokaw, you crazy guy. I mean, it looked like Dean Martin's variety show when he was sitting on a bar stool. And it gives me no pleasure to say this. John McCain was not my pick as the GOP candidate. Can't really figure it out. And, Michael may be right spot on. Maybe McCain was tapped as the guy to throw the fight. I don't know. It sure appeared that way last night. I just don't get it. I don't. You've got a socialist with virtually no experience aligning himself with domestic terrorists and everything else. And, of course, Jerome Corsi's talked to his boss, and of course Corsi for this thing, and he's going to be coming back to the States. But he was there investigating what was Barack Obama's input here, what was going on, and of course the question of his citizenship and all that. Just as he was about to give the press conference, they grab him incommunicado and get him out of the country. I mean, this Barack Obama guy is one scary individual if you care about the country, yet McCain can't seem to step up to it. I mean, he had to bring it. He really, truly needed to bring it last night, and he didn't. He didn't. George in Chicago, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, George?
Real good, Ray. Great show as always. I just want to say that McCain looked mentally stiff. He set up the punches, but when there was time to deliver, he just backed off.
Perfect. That's a perfect analogy. He set up the punches, and he did. He set them up very well. But you can only go so far, George, and I think you would agree by saying, my friends, if you were playing the drinking game at home and it was my friends, you were drunk before the thing was over, all right? You can only say, my friends, check my record. You can only say that so many times. You've got to give more. He set him up perfectly, George. And then when it was time for the left hook or the right cross, it was like he'd back up and let him get up again. I don't understand that.
I don't either. I kept waiting and waiting and waiting. And in the end, I'm disappointed, like pretty much everybody that's supporting him.
It was George, I appreciate the call very much. It was disgusting. Is what it was. And now, if you were a Barack Obama supporter, then you were going, "Oh, that's my man. There's my guy right there, looking all into it and everything." And he did look into it, and he spoke very well. But here's the thing with Barack Obama: he is a very well spoken. He looks the part. He's well spoken. He uses nice words that everybody can relate to. But he says nothing. At one particular point, I forget the question. McCain finished. But he looked uncomfortable. He'd sit down, then he'd get up, then he'd fix his tie, then he'd walk around to the back of the table, then he'd make a note, then he'd come back, sort of lean on the chair, and then, okay, that's not comfortable. And he just looked like, man, hey, anybody want to go get root canals? Let's go get root canals. That'd be more fun than this. He just looked like he didn't care. None. San Diego, Tim, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Tim?
Hey, Rick. Tim in Carlsbad. How you doing?
Doing very well. Yeah,
sort of stole my little thunder there. I had a little bit of a joke. We played the drinking game last night, and by the time it was done from hearing him say my friends, I was already in rehab, for God's sake. It was ridiculous. But, I think Barack Obama and, to his chagrin, really, McCain also betrayed sort of their socialist leanings. I mean, he was talking about buying people's bad mistakes out, having the government come back and buy the mistakes back for them and then refinance their houses at a fair rate. I mean, whatever happened to letting people fail who failed? I could have taken one of those loans too, but I didn't. My wife and I just, we had this guy saying, oh, yeah, if you got a pulse, you can get a loan, all this stuff. And, we just said no. A lot of people.
You said no because you have some character. You said no because you have a work ethic. And you said no because you wanted to be able to sleep soundly at night and look at yourself in the mirror when you shave. That means you have something coursing through your veins, something more than a government earmark or mandate.
And every time Barack opened his mouth last night, you saw the inner man, what he really believes. And what he believes is that government can do no wrong. Government can only heal. They're the only ones that are capable of healing the ills in your life, my life, everyone's life. And that's just un-American on its face. And unfortunately, there's too many suckers out there who have bought into this. Oh, and by the way, Rick.
Yes.
Fat Al's tuna.
Okay. All right. Thing. Every time, you're not going to believe me, but I sat back, and as Barack Obama began to talk, I would shift my eyes away and try to listen with an unbiased ear. And I admit, I'm an independent. I drive on the Republican side of the road more often than not because it makes sense to me more often than not. But I would try to listen, and every single time he either did a follow-up or gave a position, it smacked of socialism, pure and simple. That is not to say that McCain didn't have his own socialistic views. He did. But if you have any doubt, if you get a chance to watch this again, I'd ask you to watch and listen critically to one Brokaw question. I know it's hard to get past Brokaw, the guy that's just absolutely in love with himself, that turned what could have been a very good debate into basically a cabinet meeting. But he asked the question, should public health care be a right, a responsibility? And I think the third was privilege. I'm not sure, because I got hung up after I heard Barack Obama. McCain said it should be a responsibility. You know, people should be responsible and go out and get their health care and so on and so forth. And I agree with that. Barack Obama said, it's a right. It's a right. Healthcare is a right. Just like, evidently, owning a home is a right. Whether you have a job, a down payment, have any work history whatsoever, or any obvious source of income, it's a right. Healthcare is a right. And if parents don't give their children healthcare, that's their right, and we will fine them. And I'm thinking to myself, if you were looking, and I'm not saying that children shouldn't have healthcare. Before you start doing a Barack spin on my head, you know, parents who don't insure their kids or make sure that they're maybe they want to cash it out. You know, you can get a better deal paying cash anyway. Maybe that's the way they want to go. Government should not be. Who is it? It's the government. Do you have health care on your children? No, we kind of cash everything out. We find it's a better deal. All right, go ahead. Kick in the door. These people got to go. That's socialism, pure and simple. I think everybody should have health care. All right, but I don't believe the government needs to be in my front room spreading out the various plans on my coffee table. Does that make sense? It was socialism, pure and simple. All right, more of your calls straight ahead. We're going to try to get to Michael Savage's fifth book, Psychological Nudity. We'll get a couple of those into your hands here in just a second. 1-800-449-TALK, 1-800-449-8255. It just felt like McCain didn't care. You're running for president of the United States in what is probably one of the most historic presidential election cycles in my mind, at least in my memory. And you got to bring it. You got to at least care. Oh, man, is this thing over? Somebody give me a cup of coffee, would you? You got to give me a little more. Give me a little something. This is Rick Roberts, sitting in for Michael Savage. You're on The Savage Nation. Savage. This is Rick Roberts, setting in for Michael Savage. You're on The Savage Nation. Michael, thank you for the opportunity. Once again, it's always a pleasure to be in for Michael from time to time. Toll free everywhere, 1-800-449-8255, 1-800-449-TALK. If you haven't made it to michaelsavage.com, please go there. Make some time today to get to michaelsavage.com. All the information you need is in one place. I go there several times during the course of a day. MichaelSavage.com. Also, Michael Savage's fifth book, Psychological Nudity. We're going to try to give you one of those books here because I understand the first shipment just made its way. Is that right? Good, good, good. All right, Psychological Nudity, that's coming up. Well, as a matter of fact, let's go to Kelly. Kelly in San Francisco, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi, Kelly. How you doing?
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call, Rick.
You bet. What's going on?
Well, When Pasta with Spaghetti is one of the articles I'm looking forward to reading, and Dead Man's Pants is another one. And I just heard of Michael Savage about a month ago. I can't believe I haven't known about this year, him before then. I've been raising kids, and and busy homeschooling, and I'm thrilled.
Well, if you're raising kids and you're homeschooling, and you care about the character of your children, which obviously you do, or you wouldn't be homeschooling, and you care about their education, which obviously you do, or you wouldn't be homeschooling, you're the type of person that needs the show. You need it every day.
And the book and all the other books. So I just wanted to say thank you so much. I enjoy listening to you, and God bless you, and God bless Michael Savage and your ministry, so to speak.
Michael's ministry. I think he'd like that. Kelly, you stand by for just a second. You've been listening how long? About a month, you say?
Just a month, if you can believe it. Yes.
That's great. That's fantastic. Kelly, I want you to hang on for me just a second, because we want to put a copy of Michael's fifth book, Psychological Nudity, in your hand. Isn't that amazing? Been listening a month. Already has a favorite story when pasta was spaghetti. That's great. Kelly, thank you very much. I appreciate the call. I know Michael does, too. Mike in Chicago. Mike, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Mike?
Good evening, Rick. Thanks for sitting in for Michael, and thanks for taking my call.
You bet. My pleasure.
I believe, same as you, I think you hit it right in the head. I think McCain is finished, though. He needed to knock it out of the park last night, Rick. He needed to bury Obama, and he didn't do it. I think he's finished. I think Michael may be right. Like you said before, he may be a pick to throw it, or he may be surrounded by Brutuses. I don't know what it is, but I think he just threw it last night.
I absolutely... Mike, help me out. Senator McCain's not an uneducated man. He, in certainly his common sense and his street smarts and all of that, I would assume, outweigh his academic achievements. But this guy's been around the block. He knows what's at stake. He must know what hangs. He, better than anyone else, Mike, knows what hangs in the balance. If a socialist is allowed to walk through the front door of the White House, what is going on? I mean, is he ill? God forbid. And I don't want that rumor to start. But, I mean, there's got to be something going on.
There is. Now, Rick, initially, when he was talking about the financial meltdown, I didn't expect him to do that well. But when it came to foreign affairs, he needed to absolutely bury Obama. And he sounded like a broken record, Rick. Just repeating himself, like he was dry, dull. I don't get it. I don't get it.
I don't. And he knows how important this was. Even with Brokaw, literally pulling the wheels off the wagon, there was still some ground that could have been made had he had some passion. And I know he tried. His breathing was labored. He seemed flustered. We'll take more of your calls. This is Rick Roberts setting in for Michael Savage, and you're on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Rick Roberts setting in for Michael Savage. You are on the Savage Nation, and we're going to try to put another book in your hand, Psychological Nudity, Michael's fifth book. And the good news is the first deliveries are out. First four books of Michael's, as you well know, all bestsellers. I'm sure the fifth book will be as well. A collection of the stories you heard right here on the Savage Nation. Some of those you heard, some of them you didn't hear. And I was sort of keeping a mental tally of the favorite stories everybody likes. And so far, when pasta was spaghetti, it seems to be right up there. Nothing really in close second, but when pasta was spaghetti, people really like that story. In any case, we'll try to get another book to you. Also, michaelsavage.com. Make some time, get your sparkling beverage or your tea or whatever it is, that tripped your trigger, and sit down at the computer. Go to michaelsavage.com. You'll see why when you get there. The information about the book's there. A lot of the information you hear on the Savage Nation is there, and some of the things that maybe you've forgotten that are worth reminding yourself about. So go to michaelsavage.com. In the meantime, let's get to your calls. And, Michael, thank you for the opportunity once again to sit in for you. Always a pleasure from time to time. 1-800-449-TALK, 1-800-449-8255. Eddie in Virginia. Eddie, thanks for waiting. How you doing?
Hey, Rick. How you doing?
Doing okay. Thanks.
Hey, I just wanted to call and say I think McCain is too smart of a player. He's been around a long time, and I think he's going to hit him hard the last three or four days of the election. And that's what I'm hoping for.
You think he's sandbagging this thing? He's just kind of laying back until the 11th hour? Well, we're in the 11th hour. Until, a week before?
Yeah, statistically, one of the other talk show guys are saying everybody makes their mind up three or four days before the election.
Well, that's true as far as the voters are concerned. But as far as the candidates are concerned, you know, I kind of look at this thing, Eddie, to use a football analogy. I mean, you don't keep your best QB and your best running back on the sidelines until late in the fourth quarter just because you want to sandbag the other team. You don't want to play catch-up in the fourth quarter. You don't want to do that. And I'm looking at the numbers. You know, I went back to last Thursday, and I looked at them this morning, and I thought, man, we're losing ground big time. When I say we, I'm talking about people that care about this country and not socialist or communist. I don't know, Eddie. I hope you're right. I fear you're wrong. Beverly in Maine. Beverly, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Beverly?
Doing pretty good tonight. I have two comments regarding the socialism and the education. I felt like I was watching The Manchurian Candidate, that old black and white movie about the POW.
Right.
Who goes back and gets brainwashed and comes back and during an election. And I feel like I have a choice between, you know, like a Black Panther 60s socialist guy or, you know, a Manchurian Candidate. I mean, we're Navy, pro-Republican, you know, homeschoolers too. But I feel like I've been let down, like there's nobody really to vote for.
Well, you know, Beverly, we can't forget there was no true conservative, save for maybe Romney, maybe certainly Duncan Hunter. Duncan, great friend, great guy. But the lamestream media wasn't going to give this guy the time of day because he wouldn't play the game. And as friends of mine that have gone to Washington will now readily tell you, if you get anything done in Washington, you got to get dirty. You're going to have to take five showers a day. It's just part of the process. And Duncan Hunter would have been great. Romney, in my mind, would have been good. I don't know why, but John McCain all of a sudden got this infusion of cash at the very end. He was all but done, if you recall. And the GOP trotted him out. Okay, there you go. It's conservative light. But nobody wanted conservative light. We wanted people that were conservative with fiscal matters. We wanted people that were conservative on the war on terror. And certainly he has the background in service to the country, but nobody from a conservative standpoint thought that this was the guy. So, you know, when you look at these debates, you're not looking at a Ronald Reagan or possibly a Duncan Hunter. You're not looking at people like that. You're looking at what the GOP offered up. But even that, I'm voting for McCain, not because I'm enamored with McCain. I'm not. I disagree with him on many issues, as I do Bush. But you got to vote for McCain to keep a socialist / communist out of the White House. That's my opinion. For all the legal minds out there, they're getting ready to file a complaint. I believe, in my opinion, Barack Obama is a dyed-in-the-wool socialist, verging on a communist, aligning himself with people that believe in domestic terrorism. Unless the First Amendment's gone out the window, along with certain rights and privileges afforded to you under the Constitution and Bill of Rights, I'm free to say that. That's my opinion. You don't have to subscribe to it. Let's go to Pete. Pete in Hartford, Connecticut. Pete, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation.
Oh, Rick, it's a pleasure to talk to you. I waited a little while to talk to you, but I have a couple of points to make, and you're absolutely right. I am so disheartened that Obama has a direct hit on becoming the next president and how that will affect me as an individual. And I think this whole debate last night, what we're talking about, was a contrived event. It's almost like the selling of the president. You remember back in the 60s with Kennedy against Nixon?
Right.
It's like a contrived event. Brokaw filtered the questions prior to the whole event. He filtered the questions. They put them in an arena where McCain actually had to walk around, and you could make a comparative physical existence between the two, how they moved about. And it was McCain should have never agreed to that. And I wish he was much more aggressive on his issues. He let me down because I'm going to vote for McCain because I fear what's going to happen if Obama gets in that presidency. And that's just what he is. He's a socialist, and he's going to change this country, and he's going to change me. I'm 57 years old. I grew up in this country in a better time, a much better time, and I see where this country's going with Obama's social programs and what he's going to do to the taxpayers of this country, the good, hard workers of this country, the people that made this country. He has none of those views. None of that's with him. And what he's going to bring with him and the people he's bringing with him, this Bill Ayers, who dared have a picture of himself standing on an American flag, these are the people he rallies around. And we're going to put this guy in the White House, It's a shame for our country. It's just a shame, and it's a travesty that McCain didn't come around and get some of that strength that he had when he was in that Vietnam cell and pull it together and get against this guy, because he's our last hope.
Yeah, he needs to remember, Pete, not that I could tell McCain anything, but it is my opinion, he needs to remember he's fighting not only for a job, he's fighting for this country. Once again, maybe that's too much to ask in one lifetime of any one man, given everything he's gone through. But you're absolutely spot on. Barack Obama is the most dangerous, and I've said this before, and people take exception with it, but if you look, and I'm no PhD in world history, but I can read, if you look at world history and you look at Germany, when Adolf Hitler was not initially, but shortly after he first came on the scene and started making his rise to power as a community organizer. And you look at all the people he surrounded himself with. And if you look at some of his policies and his guidelines and certain political agendas, and even more than that, certain social agendas at the outset, you know, the similarities are staggering between Adolf Hitler and Barack Obama. You know, sorry, that's the way I feel. I can read and I can look and I can compare and contrast. And what I see, the early days of Adolf Hitler and the very early days in this presidential campaign of Barack Obama, the similarities are absolutely staggering. Now, you know, people say, well, you just don't like black men. It has nothing to do with his race, his theology, his point of origin, which is in question, by the way. You heard Michael talking about that. There's some question as to whether he's even a U.S. citizen. And sorry, that's something you kind of have to run for president. And I thought to myself, wouldn't that be something? We get a week away from the presidency and all of a sudden we find out he was actually born in Kenya and then taken to Hawaii where a duplicate birth certificate was produced. That'd be great. That's a TV movie right there. And, of course, I'm sure the Democrats would come out, oh, my God, it's a giant right-wing conspiracy and all of that. But you're right, Pete. There's too much that hangs in the balance. You know, I'm so – maybe it's because I'm getting older, but I was raised by my grandparents, God rest their soul. I remember my grandfather, he didn't borrow money for anything, yet he bought a new car about every 5 or 6 years with cash. He built the house I grew up in with his own hands with the help from my uncle and some other relatives. He paid cash for everything. He never wanted for anything. We didn't have 15 Ski-Doos in the driveway and 5 new cars and 15 vacations a year, but we were happy. And at night we slept like babies. We weren't up walking the halls. What do I do about this bill and that bill? And I told this guy that. And I think that wasn't an option. What's happened to those days? Socialism, liberalism run amok, where everybody feels that they're entitled to everything. You know, my grandfather told me one time, just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do that, whatever it is. And I never understood that until I got older. Ralph in New York. Ralph, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi.
Rick, hi. If I recall, McCain was supposed to have taken the gloves off last night. If that's the case, I'd put the gloves back on, because I'll tell you something. I was very, very disappointed in what I saw. Number one, Rick, this is not a debate in the true sense of the word. This is these are just two people spewing out their ideas in a monologue form. They're not face to face battling it out how it was supposed to be done. And Tom Brokaw, Rick, is so enamored with himself that it's, you know, you're better off getting Bob Barker in there to host. You know, I mean, I'd rather, and you know, the other caller made a very, very good point. I want to see McCain behind a podium. I don't want to see him walking around, because obviously this man has been hurt in such a horrible way in his stay in the POW camp that it's unfair to him to have it done in the manner that it was done, Rick.
Oh, I agree. I agree 100%. We all realize why Senator McCain has certain physical characteristics, and it's because of the torture and the time in the Hanoi Hilton and all of that. But it does work against him in this free-to-be, you-and-me, hug-a-tree, can't-we-all-get-along, tofu-chomping, cave-dwelling, knuckle-dragging, Volvo-driving, mouth-breathing society, which basically elects their elected representative based on something akin to Survivor Island or Big Brother. I mean, people don't read, and they don't research, and candidates know that. That's why they come out and they say things that are factually inaccurate, they know nobody's going to check it, save for people like Michael or myself or a few others, some of you, obviously. But the vast majority of people won't check it. You know, we did a fact check on the debates, the so-called debates last night. Both of them were inaccurate, factually inaccurate. And both of them are talking about socialist policies. And both of them are talking about taxes as though this is a monarchy. And as soon as they get into office, with one stroke of the pen, I have cut thy taxes, now be gone with you. That's not the way it works in our society. But you're right. They need to debate. Brokaw, go back to the nightly news. I don't even know what he does anymore. He does a show about puppies on Animal Planet or something. And anyway, get the guy, set him down, let people stand up and ask a question. One guy answers it. The other guy says, no, I think you're wrong. This is what I did. No, I think you're wrong. And they get a time limit to argue. Because last night, all I saw was a regurgitation of everything I've heard in the speeches. And Ralph, correct me if I'm wrong. McCain is not using nearly the ammunition he's got on Barack Obama. Palin is tougher on Barack Obama than is Senator McCain. Would you agree with that?
Well, I think this is the strategy. You know, it's not in McCain's nature to be confrontational. I can understand that. You know, that's just not in his makeup. But when it comes down to it, that's what's been done. Palin will do the dirty work. McCain will be the nice guy, so to speak. And that's the way it's going to be done. And unfortunately, the attack on Palin has been so extreme that Palin has become, you know, this whipping person that they just beat upon. And, you know, I think that as of today, Rick, let's be honest, Obama's won the election. If it were as of today, he's won the election.
I'm not going to argue that. I won't argue that point. Unless something very, very pivotal happens, very impactful happens between now and, what is it, 27 days away, I think it is, Barack Obama's going to be in the White House. And, you know, I want to see McCain talk about heirs. I want to see McCain talk about some of these foreign interests that Barack Obama has aligned himself with. You know, I mean, with all due respect to Palin, I mean, it's nice and it's new and it's a breath of fresh air and all the adjectives everybody's heard. But, I mean, when she's talking about heirs, it's like, well, okie dokie, Mr. Barack Obama, you're that domestic terrorism. People don't like that. It's not very nice. You know what I mean? It's, don't like it. Mm-mm. I mean, you got to be a little more forceful. I want to hear McCain, you know, say, you know what? I spent some time in a faraway land for what I believed to be true, what I believed to be worth fighting for. And then to come back into this country and have somebody run for the highest office of the land while aligning themselves with someone that would absolutely destroy the very fabric of this society is totally unacceptable. And yeah, I'm going to talk about it every chance I get because the American people have a right to know. They have a right to know. I mean, I want to see him come out with both fists clenched saying this country's worth fighting for. This country's worth protecting. The people that live here, that live within our borders are worth protecting. You know, nice guys don't finish even in the top 10 politically. He's got to do more. He's got to get busy. Maybe I'm just I'm blowing in the wind here. This is a great country, and it has the potential to be so much better, but it's not going to be under the leadership or lack thereof of a socialist that surrounds himself with communists. It's not going to happen. You know, people wake up. Wake up. Your call straight ahead. This is Rick Roberts, setting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation. Savage. This is Rick Roberts, setting in for Michael Savage. You are on the Savage Nation. Michael, thank you for the opportunity once again. Toll-free everywhere, 1-800-449-TALK, 1-800-449-8255. I'm going to try to put another copy of Michael's fifth book, Psychological Nudity, in your hands. We'll do that here in just a little bit. Also, michaelsavage.com. Do not forget to go there. It is well worth your time. Should be required reading for everyone, in or out of school. After the debate last night, and I know I've hammered that thing to death, and there's so many other things peripherally that we could get into, but it's just, I don't even know why McCain even wants to do another debate unless he intends to morph into something else. I'm voting for McCain to keep a socialist out of the White House. I don't think people really get the full gravity of what is about to happen to this great nation. And I guess the thing that angers me more than anything else, we've got boots on the ground, just in case you've forgotten and you wouldn't know by watching the lamestream media. We've got boots on the ground fighting for American interest and American way of life and freedom for other people, the thing that we do very well in this country. They deserve better. This is their homeland. They deserve better. We are obligated to keep this thing together while they're away, and we're not doing a very good job. As a matter of fact, ladies and gentlemen, based on the debate or whatever it was last night, I give you the new America.
Toward the end of 1968, I had really decided that I was committed to being a part of what I thought was going to be a really serious and ongoing rebellion, upheaval that had the potential of not just ending the war, but of really overthrowing the capitalist system and put in its place something much more humane. The organization was unable to resolve the question of how militant, how far would we go. Some people felt literally that the bigger the mess we could make, the better. That is, that whatever it cost, whatever, you know, destructive kinds of activity we could do against the U.S. government, the better.
That is that is the man that hosted one of the first coming out coffees, fundraisers, fill in the blank, for the guy running for president of the United States. Just wrap your head around that for a second. You just heard the comments. That's William Ayers. You know, it's bad enough that he's allowed to be in this country as an educator, and I use that term loosely in his particular case, but that's the guy that hosted Barack Hussein Obama's, some would say, first fundraiser, certainly the first coming out in his run for the Senate. That's the guy. It just boggles my mind. It truly does. Let's go to Norwalk, Connecticut. Lou, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Lou?
Oh, thank you for taking my call, Rick. It's an honor to be on with you. And we've been listening to Mike Savage for the last 3-4 years.
What's your favorite story?
One-Armed Frank.
One-Armed Frank. Lou, you stay right there. I'm going to make sure you get a copy of Psychological Nudity, Michael Savage's fifth book, in your hands. That's a promise, my friend. This is Rick Roberts, sitting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation. Michael, thank you so much.
Savage.